Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Dow futures down about 80 as a busy news week unfolds. Actually, a little bit of improvement here. We got WeWork drama, lots of central bank speak, global PMIs, which were no good in Europe. Germany, 41.4, a crisis-era low. Markets are weak there. 10-year yield back below 1.7. Oil is unchanged on these conflicting reports about Aramco's recovery. Our roadmap begins with WeWork's woes. SoftBank's Masa-san, the company's largest investor, reportedly in favor of ousting Adam Neumann. David has some details.
Plus, we do have global growth worries continuing, and stocks are set for a mixed open as weak manufacturing data out of Europe stokes slowdown fears.
And First Lady Melania Trump coming to the NYSE this morning, set to ring the opening bell to help highlight her Be Best campaign.
We start, though, this morning with this ongoing drama, in fact, an increase of drama at WeWork, a company we followed closely in weeks past because of the expectation it would soon go public. That is no longer the focus, at least of the current stories involving the company. More so, the future of its founder and CEO and controlling shareholder, Adam Neumann. This morning, we can tell you much remains in flux at the company in terms of the future of its senior leadership, with a number of significant board members and shareholders moving to oust Mr. Neumann as the company's CEO, move him into some sort of other, more perhaps ceremonial position of non-executive chairman or something along those lines. As of early this morning, it was unclear what Mr. Neumann's future would be. There is some division on the board, I'm told, by people familiar with the situation, where representatives of SoftBank and Benchmark both may be in favor of him moving on. However, other board members, including Lou Frankfurt, former CEO of Coach, and representatives as well from Rome, may be in favor of his staying, as would Mr. Neumann, although, Jim, it's chaos. Yep. And there was a moment this morning where I thought that I was confident that in fact he was ready to move on. But that is not the case, I'm told, at this moment. However, if you had to choose here, I suppose, based on everything I've heard, it seems more likely than not that in some way he's going to decide to, instead of replacing the entire board, which he could do,
right,
take a different role in some fashion. But nothing has been decided at this point.
I understand there's a definitive pushback by the bankers. They want him out. And they're working with Masa-san to get rid of him. The bankers feel that it's out of control. The bankers are concerned even about the SEC. They think that the bankers want this man to, if he leaves, they can get the deal done.
There's so many different things here that are hard to follow exactly. One is SoftBank's decision-making, in part because, let's face it, a week ago I was sitting here reporting on the $1 billion that they were willing to do in a private placement,
right,
to support Mr. Neumann as it was about to try to go public. It was the roadshow was, mm-hmm, was a day away, mm-hmm, a week ago, and then, of course, it was postponed. And so to have that kind of reversal. Now, I've heard separately that Mr. Neumann was a no-show at important meetings in Pasadena that,
yeah,
Masa
yeah.
was going to that Masa had, and that may have upset him. It's also unclear. Remember, Ron Fisher's on the board. I've called Mr. Fisher. He hasn't returned calls.
No, okay.
He's a SoftBank.
Thank you.
How they feel about, you know, things more broadly, or Rajiv Misra, who runs the Vision Fund. But that is a quick reversal for SoftBank. And one wonders, what about the future of a company without its founder, its leader, its visionary?
Kalanick.
How do you do
Travis
that?
Kalanick. What happened there? Is it Kalanick?
Uber was, I mean, first of all, actually, Kalanick was more involved on, in the execution of every day of everything at Uber,
right,
than is Mr. Neumann. However, there are those who believe Uber, though, you could imagine it existing on its own as an entity that would be,
right,
have incredible growth given the market opportunity. Here, so much of the vision of WeWork is wrapped up in Mr. Newman's own ability to sell that vision.
Yes, and he is. I mean, when my times I've met him, he's so compelling. It is true. You want to give him money. I'm not allowed to invest, but it's like, here, take my wallet, please. David, you mentioned Ron Fisher, 71-year-old investor. David, why is he not talked about as important he really is? He was the guy who really guided valuation. and he stuck it to the banks. And apparently, well, we don't know what his view is, but we know that he can determine a lot more. He's there every day.
But apparently SoftBank is no longer in favor of Mr. Newman staying.
I think it's an amazing story.
Which is shocking in a sense. Again, given a week ago they were willing to give him or give the company another $1 billion. But Mr. Newman's got his own decisions to make. It also may come down as well to a Chinese PE firm called Honey Capital and their representative on the board who apparently has yet to decide.
Chinese capital,
and then
like
you
Thomas
also have 48 Cook. Hours in which to call a board meeting, so it's not clear that that has actually expired. So, again, we have the reports from yesterday from others. We can add that it's just further in flux, frankly. And that while early this morning, Mr. Newman still was trying to figure out his own future and make his own decisions, nothing has been yet.
Lou Frankfurt, what kind of role? Because you know he's a man of great, I would say a steady man when he was at Tapestry / Coach. He can't be rolled.
I hear he's in favor of keeping Mr. Newman.
Well, that's important that he's got Newman's. Now, when you read articles in the Journal about tequila and marijuana, I often read those things and say, okay, what was he really on?
Well, is that why think those who want him out want him out?
You know, Carl, those stories are leaked.
There was a long, the big Wall Street Journal story earlier last week about marijuana use on the plane.
But you dismiss that?
By the way, where it's not even illegal.
Well, no, but the implication is that the guy is high when he's doing this stuff.
The implication is there is more there.
Right.
That is not yet known, and therefore that they have...
What are you implying?
What are you implying that there is
more there?
I don't know. I don't know.
Back down immediately. I confronted
him. By the way, this is...
Yeah, that story did not... That was a suboptimal story about his leadership style.
It was not good.
But in the meantime, can we just say...
But it's been okay until now, right?
He's a blast. And he represents... And there is this WeWork army. But what's happening is the more that he's marginalized, the more we start thinking... It's a real estate company. Well, that's a high.
That's what you wonder. There's a part of you that also wonders why SoftBank didn't just come and say, okay, we'll just buy the rest. Come on.
Why didn't they? I don't know. What does Ron Fisher think? Ron Fisher behind the scenes.
They still need approval, I think, from the Saudis if they're going to go above a certain number for any investment. So maybe that gives them pause. But if Masa really believes in the business model with or without Mr. Newman, then perhaps you want to have full control.
But is there a company without Newman? Newman is the guy. Newman, when you listen to Newman, he's a visionary. And he wants $1 trillion. We're worth $1 trillion. He wants to live forever. I kind of spent more than Ted Williams. I mean, it's cryogenic. I mean, the guy is just really personable. And you like, you say, yeah, like, wow. But David, if without him, it's like, you know, not as good as CBRE. David, it's Simon Properties without steady, anchor tenants.
Understood.
No, I'm not kidding. Newman is, he's not just charismatic. I saw him with David Blaine in the same room. Two magicians.
Well, listen to, like, for example, Walter Isaacson this morning on Squawk argues you do need a visionary.
You do
like you needed a Jobs.
Right.
And it's not, you can bring some in to be a COO or an operator, but you're going to need someone.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Friday, when I first heard as well about the possibility of SoftBank turning against Mr. Newman, the idea was perhaps they would put a new chairman, a strong figure above, not above, but somebody to try to work. That's always
Tony West. Or do we always just say him? He's the lawyer for
question.
For Uber.
As Tony West actually moving to try to oust Mr. Newman. Suffice to say, guys, as we move on here, that this is a dynamic situation, and perhaps even within the next 45 minutes, we'll have more for you.
Are you serious?
It's possible.
What do you mean 45 minutes? I'm going to be gone. Can you get that in 40? Hey, at least he doesn't tweet.
You're right. He's been largely silent on Twitter.
Now, isn't that something? Yeah. I mean, he doesn't tweet, David. So he's kind of more in check than some others.
Although we haven't heard from Elon Musk in a long time.
Ever since.
I miss those tweets.
Don't you? He made the game fun.
Yeah.
Jeez, and that is. I mean, Newman is probably the great problematic figure because I met Newman in his office, okay? And, you know, I was spellbound like everybody else. I mean, he's Svengali. He's Svengali of real estate. I started thinking, holy cow, I want to get in real estate, even at the top. I mean, it's like, you know, and then he has like an army. I once saw an army of WeWorkers. They were at the Hilton and they like ran over me. It was like, you know, it was like they were like the Wizard of Oz. You know, when those guys before she dies, the Wicked Witch, they're like Mario. I mean, they're like crazy. Well, they're not going to lead. Yeah, the monkeys. They're not going to lead. They're not going to follow a new guy. They're about Newman.
You think that's how these real estate transactions have been decided?
Yes.
On his personality?
Yes.
Not on balance sheets,
cap ratios? The only thing is that he's using Don Julio in the 1942. There are better. Clos Azul is a better tequila, just for the record.
That's the one in the beautiful bottle.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if he wants to step up, the 1942 tastes like turpentine versus the Clos Azul.
You do know you're...
Well, I'm just pointing out, that's the big flaw in the story, other than the fact that the guy is a complete crazy man lunatic. What? What will you say? Remember, David, there's a podcast and there's where you can't make the gestures.
Takes one to know one.
Yeah, yes.
Well, you bet it does. Believe me, I got his act together. And one time he was all sweaty and stuff. He had worked out. He gave me a hug. I liked it. I got Newman's sweat all over my body.
This board wants you to stay. Okay?
Yeah, I went on that board. Jim? Lou Frankfurt, man. What? I got Newman's sweat.
And they bottle that
stuff. You ever heard of Old Spice?
They bottle that stuff.
Yep.
It's
like Austin Powers Mojo.
Yes. Oh, yeah. My God, that is Mojo. Yeah. Newman Sweat. That's a great name for get international flavors and fragrances on foot.
Next business.
Newman Sweat. What? That's a good gift for, like, Hanukkah.
Why not?
Right?
How about futures moving lower after stocks break this three-week win streak amid concerns about a global slowdown? These flash PMIs in Germany indicate contraction and sinking now to a seven-year low this month. The Dow and the S&P, though, still within 1% of their all-time highs. Jim, as we said, Germany 41. I mean, these PMIs are hard to look at.
Oh, my God. I mean, did you see the South Korean numbers? Everything's down like 20%. It's not like down 4 or 5. There is a genuine sense that commerce has stopped. You know, we haven't talked about, you know, when I was a little boy, my first trip, little boy like 16, my father said, you know, you got to get Thomas Cook travel checks. They're as good as the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. Well, you know, Thomas Cook collapsed. Brexit.
Forced liquidation and tens or no hundreds of thousands of travelers stranded around the world.
Plus, I don't know whether to fear the repo man or is it repo madness. There's a lot of stuff that's going on that
Fifth intervention of the repo markets. I had somebody come up to me yesterday and ask me about repo. I'm like, I really don't.
I had it the football game
answer.
And we were
Everybody
down. It's better
technical.
Than the game.
Is it technical?
Or is it about a bank that may be failing? That we don't know about. None of us want to talk about that, but there's something wrong.
It is new. We went 10 years without it, and now we're having to dip
in every
day.
We're so liquid. I want Jamie Dimon would probably tell us. He would say, listen, here's what's going on, because he's an honest guy, but we've not been able to pin any of these banks down.
Well, I'll tell you what. We went into September thinking, oh, so volatile, worst month of the year. We've had 2 1% moves all month versus a dozen in August.
I know. It's really calmed down. And one of the reasons why is that the IPOs really haven't been happening as long as Newman's on the sidelines. Well, I caught you
by the way,
again.
Let's not talk Newman again for a long time, but the idea of an IPO for this company...
How about Peloton? Do we want shares of Peloton? See, I think here's what happens. First, we think that Uber is a platform. Then it turns out to be a cab company. Then we think that Newman is about the new way to have real estate. And then we think it's just a realtor. Now, Peloton, they're saying it's 8 ways platform. Can I tell you what Peloton is? It's a way to hang your towels up. It is. It's like my wife's got her sports bra on the Peloton. When you get the sports bra off the Peloton, at least make it look like it's a platform. It's a platform for her dirty clothes.
So you're not buying it on thing Friday, right?
Oh, it'll come and it'll be all exciting. It's like the best, you know, the best workout known to man. And the guy's really charismatic. The whole thing, the charismatic. You know what? I don't give a darn about charisma. I want earnings per share. Do you see Chewy? When Chewy had more. They didn't. You know, suddenly, it's not enough that all the boxes that you see on Amazon are Chewy. Suddenly, someone's talking about earnings. I mean, what the hell?
You're referring to this Nomura takes it to buy.
Yeah.
Saying margin concerns overdone.
Right? I know, but that's fighting the tide. Now we want earnings. Earnings? I mean, the playoffs. I mean, this stuff doesn't even merit talk. Peloton is a bike. Okay? It's a bike. And it's got screens, and you got Allie, and she's fine. Go faster. There. That is what we're dealing with.
You know, our parent company is an investor, by the way.
And I love that. And that's why it's such a great company, and I'm going to buy two more Pelotons. We're going to have Pelotons in every house I have. 12 Pelotons. Give me some more Pelotons.
I will.
All right, thank you. Because I forgot of the principal investor. Yeah. Is Fisher involved with that? Oh, my God. Can I just say it's otherworldly? We got a repo issue.
Yes.
We got a guy who does nothing but drink tequila and a marijuana cereal box. What have we got? We got a cab company that's cut in half. Will you give me something that works?
We're going to look for one when we get Cramer's Mad Dash in a moment. Look at the opening bell in about 15 minutes. Don't go away. More Squawk on the Street from the NYC in a moment.
Target. All right. You may have even heard it. We're going to do a mad dash now as we count you down to the opening bell. Get back to talking stocks this morning that actually do trade publicly. Target, of course, is one of them. Large retailer, as far as I was aware.
Every day.
Makes money, too.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Every day, there's a confirmation of watch. Walmart, Amazon, Target, Costco, and Home Depot. It's almost as if these analysts are saying, no one said anything lately about Target. Credit Suisse meets with Target. Margins expansion, competitors store closings. This is a play on the collapse of Bed Bath & Beyond. Now, they're going to save Bed Bath, but it's going to be a very shrunken company. That's really fabulous. Brian Cornell, the CEO, has more Targets. They're the most adjacent to Bed Bath. And I also think, the $5 billion buyback. David, this is the stock for the era. Good dividend, good growth, buyback. That's the opposite of a lot of the stocks that are coming public. This is what people want. The public wants other than Pinterest and maybe Zoom video. No one really cares
for
this.
It hasn't given up anything from that enormous gain it had after that last quarter that surprised investors, given how positive it was.
Brian Cornell's managing five different formats, and his inner city is stellar. This man is to be, I will be his PR agent here. Puts up soccer fields in inner city, hires local. This guy is saving. He's like the, Dan Gilbert. We haven't heard from him. I hope he's okay. But he's like, this guy's international. He's this guy's national Dan Gilbert. He is placing targets in places where no one has had a store in ages, and it's working. I think he should be nominated for something. I don't know what. I'm going to try to come up with something. Nobel Inner City Peace Prize. I don't know. But I love the guy. He's from Whitestone. He's a regular guy. Well, my wife is from Flushing, so there's like some sort of weird bond among these nut jobs from Queens. Oh, I'm from the people from Queens.
Well, it's not, who is it? Piper initiates Lulu overweight today.
That was a great piece.
Yep.
Oh, my God. It was like, it was all about men's and children. And no one ever talks about the fact that Lulu will put anyone in bankruptcy who buys the stuff. It is just incredible how positive that piece is. That stock's going to go much higher on that recommendation, even though it's been a winner. Matt Boss got you in that early on.
Our target, 227 out of Piper for
going
Lulu.
Right there.
Yep. David?
All right, in a few moments from now, First Lady Melania Trump is going to ring the opening bell right here at the NYSE. Walk on the Street. We'll be right back.
Big morning here at the NYSE. First Lady Melania Trump will ring the opening bell this morning, along with some students from the UN International School as part of her Be Best campaign. You probably heard about it. One-year anniversary back in May, helping kids' overall well-being with an emphasis on online safety. All of this taking place amid the backdrop of UN Week as we look for some news, Jim, out of the president. Maybe doesn't look like a meeting with Iran's going to happen, but we'll look for headlines.
Yeah. And by the way, online safety. My daughter was a counselor for youth. I underestimated online safety, how necessary. That there's a linkage between suicide and cyber. And it is a kind of a strange bullying thing. I mean, strange in that you're bullied by people who look more beautiful than they are. And she said that her biggest obstacle was this, online. And I think that it's not talked about enough. We kind of gloss over it. There's not much you can do.
Right.
All the companies involved in online are horrified themselves. But great cause, and good to have awareness.
Yeah. There's Stacey Cunningham, of course, of the NYSE with the First Lady. You mentioned online. This interview, we'll get to Iger's interview with Maureen Dowd in a few moments. But one of the things he says is about why he didn't go after Twitter, saying that so many liabilities with the content versus the Disney brand. He even talks about you go on his own notifications and you ask yourself, why am I even on this platform?
Bringing up a lot of the vitriol that does find its way into Twitter and feeling as though that is not something that he wanted to be a part of.
Yeah, he said that to me in his interview that runs tomorrow that I did. I spent a lot of time with Bob, and what he cared, he said, look, the Disney brand versus the Twitter brand, it's like good versus evil. But you know what? Both he and Benioff were interested in buying. Has anyone seen where Twitter stock is?
Yeah.
It's doing better than a lot of other people.
It's up 50% this year.
Yeah, so maybe it wouldn't have been. I mean, they all now say, yeah, in retrospect, wow, thank you. Well, no, in retrospect, maybe they should have. It's doing better than their stock. Well, Disney stock's been good, but Mark, his stock is kind of stuck.
It's a bit of a conundrum, CRM's performance this year.
It's an enigma.
Given its underlying fundamentals have been fairly strong.
Yeah, you don't like Benioff.
That is not true. I have great respect for Mark Benioff.
Do you?
He doesn't like me.
Oh, I'll check with that.
First Lady will ring the opening bell in 5 minutes. Don't go away. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in 2 minutes on this busy Monday. It's going to be a packed week, whether we're watching the UN or these PMIs or the Fed speak, Jim. It's going to come not just from our guys, but Draghi, Carney, Kuroda, all speaking this week.
It's so painful because I think a lot of people need Germany to start spending some money. They need Brexit to happen.
Oh, so fiscal. You want fiscal.
Yeah, I want fiscal. Because, look, I mean, these countries... Like, they just refuse to try to get their own economies rolled. And I don't want to underestimate this Thomas Cook thing. I know they were in trouble for a long time. And I know that they were partnered with Expedia, by the way. People say Expedia is a winner. It's possible. But you're having these things that are happening. Boris Johnson was talking about how, look, this is just, he really wanted it to fail, so to speak, because of moral hazard. It's like, we can't just overlook these collapses. Thomas Cook is a giant collapse.
Well, there's a story on the tape this morning about some of the hedge funds who were in CDS who are going to make $250 million on Thomas Cook's liquidation.
Well, that's the other side of the trade. But I just worry. Repo, I keep thinking about. I would love to ignore that because it's such a boring story, but it's not boring. In reality, either the New York Fed keeps missing and they don't know what they're doing, or there is a problem. And there are a lot of banks in Europe that I think are much more problematic than our banks. But I also know that it's country club over there. They'll bail them out.
Yeah. Let's get the opening bell. S&P 500 at the bottom part of your screen this morning. At the big board, it is the First Lady of the United States, Melania Trump, highlighting her Be Best platform aimed at children's well-being, online safety, and fighting the opioid epidemic. At the NASDAQ Advertising Week, an event platform for the advertising, entertainment, and marketing industries. Oil is going to be a conundrum today because we got conflicting reports out of the Journal and Reuters. Some say contractors are saying it's going to take a lot longer than we think. Well, Reuters says they're going to full volumes by next week.
I don't know. I've got Rusty Brazil on from RBN, which I think is the foremost oil expert in the world right now. I have him on tonight to answer those questions. And Hal is MC Squid. You know, we have Michelle Cruz-Cabrera on today, and she was saying that this, even just a decade ago, the oil would have spiked $100 on this. We got to find out. Meanwhile, Tellurian wins a big contract to export nat gas. And when I speak to Sharif Suki, who is really the father of export, he often talks about how Korea, but China needs our natural gas. We have the lowest priced natural gas in the world now. And there's a lot of stories to say that we cannot, that all these projects are not going to be able to have buyers. But the Chinese are short natural gas. They just don't have enough. Korea doesn't have enough. And then the biggest market is India. Tellurian got an India contract. So let's understand that the greatest growth story in our country is export of natural gas and how many people it takes to just build all of those facilities. Those are the most, this is the giant, biggest contracts in the world. Maybe, I don't want to say in the world, but certainly in our country. And we don't talk about it enough. It's just happening right now.
They require many billions of dollars.
Many billions.
Yeah, they are enormous infrastructure projects. Speaking of infrastructure, though, Saudi Aramco, I mean, the Journal today reporting conceivably the reconstruction of these facilities that were hit by the drones and cruise missiles. Could take longer than Aramco's saying, at least according to outside contractors, the journal is.
Well, then why do we want that deal, David?
You wonder how long. They're still moving full speed ahead, though, with the planned IPO.
There's a deal, $1 trillion IPO. We can't. We don't like Exxon. We can't stand Chevron. Occidental feels a lot like the Love Canal. Remember, they were involved with the actual canal.
Love Canal, New York. That was
No one wants those stocks. Nobody wants any of the independents. But now we're supposed to want Saudi Aramco, which was taken out by 10 drones that probably cost about, I don't know, like $200,000. I mean, come on. How is this happening? Why doesn't someone throw a flag and say, look, this is just, it's an illegal block in the back, these trades. No one wants Saudi Aramco to come public, but they have 9 bankers. And you think those 9 bankers, they want that fee so badly that they'll do anything?
It will be a significant fee when you take a company public of that size. By the way, they would come public first in their own home market of Saudi Arabia before another listing. Not here, clearly, but they've talked about a number of different potential markets for a global listing.
Do we want that deal to happen? I mean, if you're a bull, you do not want that deal to happen. It's going to suck up more capital. Plus, we're going to start seeing a lot of the lockups expire for some of the earlier deals, and no one wants those either. They don't, other than Roku, and that stock was down 70 points.
Speaking of those earlier deals, Uber does come to mind.
Down to 33, down cut
1%,
in half.
$32.25 at this point.
Nobody wants
it. So that stock is down, about 27%.
It's really depressing.
Since its opening.
Remember, there used to be a lot of people thought that was going to be $100 billion worth there.
It's about a $55 billion, not even $54 billion value.
What level does that mean?
And this does go back to this larger discussion we've been having for weeks now about the Vision Fund and the Vision Fund 2, the plan from SoftBank, of course, to raise another potentially $100 billion fund. At least the marks you have to take on the Uber investment and WeWork investment are significantly lower than where they had them and where they last invested.
Well, I think that this is an underlying story. At the beginning of the year, I talked about how what's going to happen is we're going to get ennui from all these deals, and we are in the midst of that right now. We just want, there's going to be rebellion against these deals. You're going to start seeing deals that break, like Smile Direct. Remember that?
Yeah, that was a horrible first day.
That was a punch right in the teeth.
But
another JP Morgan deal.
You make
by
it
the
sound
way.
Like
people
a bad thing, Jim.
Underwriters.
You make it sound like a bad thing. This sort of reset on expectations for these moonshots, unprofitable companies.
Well, it is. We're just deluged with them. In the meantime, we have some very profitable companies like Facebook and Alphabet. The time's forgotten. Facebook's doing incredibly well.
It is.
We had a senator last week calling for Facebook to be broken up into Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp.
A mounting pressure on them. The Journal again reporting this morning about the FTC. I mean, this is what you do. You go to competitors. So Snap has a dossier of all the things that they feel like Facebook did to them to prevent
a bunch of crybabies.
Growth of Snapchat.
Step up to the plate.
In terms of not allowing it on the Instagram platform in a robust way and things of that nature.
By the way, Netflix there at $2.69. You're back to flat for the year.
Isn't that something?
In July, the stock was up 42%.
Trades on Emmys.
And that's the other thing. Not a single major broadcast network won a major Emmy last night. It went to Amazon.
Saturday Night Live got something.
HBO.
Didn't Saturday Night Live win something?
SNL. Yes, yeah, SNL did win one. Something. I'm talking major categories.
Yeah, I know. Even like supporting actor and blah, blah, blah. Remember like...
Well, that's
like
because
Friends and stuff?
TV is better than it's ever been, but it's not
Golden Age.
The old TV.
It's Golden Age.
It is, without a doubt.
It's Golden Age.
It's much better.
Then why didn't Netflix
talking to my
do
son
better?
About it, he's like, yeah, there's nothing in the movies. You just want to watch everything that's actually available on Netflix. See those movies that are coming on Netflix?
Yeah.
That they were promoing?
Disney dropped their Frozen 2 trailer this morning.
Really?
That's going to be a billion-dollar picture.
Right with Iger. The book. The book. Tomorrow. Iger.
Iger.
On show.
On Mad Money.
On Mad
Money.
Night?
Yeah, and it's the most expansive interview I'm not allowed to even talk about. It's too hot to even talk about.
You had an more expansive than my interview?
It was much more expansive.
When they rolled out streaming?
I called it the expansive interview, actually. I told Bob in the green room, this interview has to be expansive.
Exclusive,
I want
expansive.
This to be 1 minute longer than David Faber's interview. He mentioned you.
Did he?
Yeah, in the book.
Yes, and not in a good way.
No, he did.
But you know what? I actually worked it in because he's my partner. I worked in the holy crap state.
Yes.
I worked in right at the end because I just feel like I want you to like me more.
I want me? Couldn't be possible. I couldn't like you any more than I like you. You know that.
I felt like maybe Dave, I'll throw David a bone and maybe he'll like me more.
Throw me a bone, yeah.
Hey, Jim, some people are stepping out in front of Micron's print this week.
How about that piece, Morgan Stanley? And, you know, it still sells at 8x earnings. They report next week. I think Micron's going to have a really good quarter, but the stock's up from 33. I don't know. I mean, in the end, if they call the bottom in DRAM or they call, and there is a bottom in flash, the stock's going to have another quick 10. That whole quietly, the low multiple stocks are doing well, and the higher, you know, the Xilinxes are doing worse. Look at Texas Instruments. That's been an unbelievable stock during this period. That's very low multiple. I don't know. I mean, there's a high anything that's low multiple is the antidote to WeWork and the antidote to Peloton, yep. And of course, some of the really fabulous IPOs they brought us this year. How about Chinese IPOs? Where are they?
They haven't done particularly well. But to be fair, as we take a look at First Lady Melania, Trump exiting the floor of the New York Stock Exchange,
yeah,
we've had a number of very strong IPOs this year.
You know,
we have growth companies that people have flocked to. They've been very strong, and they've continued
very
to be strong.
Very strong.
And I'm talking beyond me, not just beyond
okay,
me.
We got New Fortress Energy. That was good. Look at this. We got Avedro. That's a fabulous one. David Avedro.
Never forget Avedro.
Avedro is big. How about, you know, I mean, we're talking about deals like Mayville Engineering. That's a killer.
That was a classic.
Mayville is like, David, this is like Mayberry RFD. This thing is so big. You know, Grocery Outlet's been good there. I have a whole list. I found four deals that really stand out. What do you think, David?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Right? Yeah. I mean, then I've got about 100 deals that you're underwater so badly. But then I have Turning Point Therapeutics. I thought that was a wine. And then there's Palomar Holdings.
Not Malamar Holdings.
Nope. They only put those out a certain time of the year.
Give me some of that deal.
You know it.
Malamar?
Yeah. That would go up. Like Tate's Cookies. It's not Tate's.
Tate's. No, Tate's. Yeah, Little Tate's.
See, this is a market that loves Mondelez. That's what
I was going to say. Take Kimberly-Clark, had a big spill as the momentum shift
upgrade
happened. Today, Barclays takes it to overweight.
But Clorox, it's all about the bags. It's all about the generic threat to Clorox. It's existential. A lot of their products are being knocked off. You go to, you go to Costco, they're gunning for Clorox. Although I buy Burt Bees stuff. I think it's a very good brand. I remember initially David felt they overpaid for that, but that's done well. What?
Did I feel that way?
Yeah, didn't you? And you also broke the Twitter story about it. Then I learned this morning that you did.
No, I think I did.
You know who's stealing your seltzer thesis is Guggenheim, taking Boston Beer to 462 from 449.
Spiked seltzer is the biggest thing, as I know, because when I went to my beach house, I opened the refrigerator and it was filled with spiked seltzer, and I thought it was club soda. And I was down a couple of these are good. Don't get behind the wheel after spiked seltzer. By the way, I have Canopy on tonight. I was talking to some doctors. What is the level that you're drunk with cannabis? What is the level? They don't know because each person's different, which is one of the big problems in America is that the state troopers do not know when to pull you over. And they're trying to come up with a breathalyzer. In the meantime, vaping has just brought us a halt to a lot of cannabis because we don't know. Apparently, if it's dark, David, and it's tar-like.
Yeah, you don't want to vape it. You're talking about cannabis if you're vaping.
Right, you don't want to vape it. That's
which does appear to be the culprit, at least as far as we know, behind the illnesses and deaths.
Yes.
It was cannabis related.
Now, David, Juul, which is worse, the $19 billion Juul investment in the Merchant of Death?
With
the valuation of Juul, you know, because Altria.
Right, when they put in 12.8 for 35%.
Yeah,
right.
But they did that valuation pretty high. Or some of these, you know, the WeWork, some of the things that Ron Fisher did.
Juul, I think you can argue, has had a rough couple of weeks.
Well, the Chinese, you know, they allowed it.
Yeah.
And then how many days before they took it down?
I saw some favorability polls on Juul, down 20 points in a matter of months.
I saw so much vaping outside the stadium at the Lincoln Financial that I just wanted to congratulate Juul for getting so many, even though, of course, they didn't have anything to do with it, have so many younger people hooked. They had nothing to do with it. They had nothing to do with those funny flavors. And I really want to exonerate them because they had nothing to do with the vaping, the epidemic of underage smoking. David, did you know that they had nothing to do with
that? That's what I understand.
That's so great.
Apparently they had a fairly strong and continued to lobbying effort in Washington.
Well, that's good.
once they started to get pushback from the FDA? Scott Gottlieb, the former commissioner who was leading.
He should have done much more. CNBC contributor. But your document ran again, and I caught some of it, and it's just a constant reminder that it wrecks families. But again, it's very successful. I don't want to stand in the way of Juul, despite the fact that it's been a whole new form of a public health disgrace. But the FDA is like, we have the FDA, the SEC, everybody likes to look the other way.
You don't believe in any way that it is a smoking mitigation mechanism, that it will prevent...
Well, I don't think you're disputing that. You just want it to be a prescription.
No, that's why I want a prescription. Right. I think it would be great. I think the Juul people are really nice people. And when you sit down with them, they're willing to sacrifice all their profits and make it a prescription. They seem like they're not merchants of death. They're merchants of life. Wow. So they make a prescription. David, I'm being facetious.
You are.
I don't like this haircut.
We had Walmart discontinue on Friday.
Right.
And if a convenience store like 7-Eleven or Wawa, if they follow suit, then it's serious.
Yeah,
that's
it really
where
is.
The heart of their sales.
Remember when CVS pulled tobacco, which made them a health company, and then Walgreens didn't?
That's still the case.
I know. Isn't that something? Huh? How do they live with themselves at Walgreens after what Larry Merlo did?
I haven't asked.
I think they don't come on TV. They don't come on TV because they don't want to answer the question about why they continue to do tobacco. Now, people can say, why do I harp on tobacco other than that it's the most preventable form of death? And the answer is because it's the most preventable form of death. And maybe we should all be a little less objective about companies that are merchants of death. Maybe we should just talk about it.
Are we really going to go down the long list? I mean...
Well, that's the other rap, which, like, Jim, why do you focus on that when you could have focused on Roundup? Okay. And guns. What is that? Why don't you focus on guns and cyberbullying? Okay, I just focus on all those two.
Opioids?
Yep. Very bad.
It's a difficult world we're in. We're hanging in, though, right below 3K. Let's get to Bob Bassani. Bob?
Good morning, all. Happy Monday. It's sort of a rough opening overseas, and most of this has to do with the rather rotten PMI numbers that we got over in Europe. Let's take a look at the S&P futures. Can you figure out this is when it happened? This is our futures. You should have seen Europe. This is about 3 o'clock in the morning. We got the numbers. Particularly French PMIs were rather weak. Industrials here, it's all the cyclical sectors that are weaker. Banks are very weak over in Europe, but you see industrials, materials, banks, communications, consumer staples, of course, a defensive group slightly on the upside. Over in Europe, it's pretty ugly over there. DAX was down. We saw FTSE was down. Italy, Shanghai's down here. And we also see Hang Seng. Hang Seng's down 6 days in a row now. So it's been pretty rough for them overall here. Other European stocks, the big names that are out there, Siemens, Glencore in the commodity space, Daimler, and most of the autos are all weak as well on the news of the week PMI numbers. We'll get some here in just a few moments here. We got some IPOs trading this week, some very interesting ones, I think. So there's some of your European banks, as you can see on the weak side. Let's talk about some of the IPOs this week. Finally, another big unicorn, Peloton's coming. We'll see how that does. Interactive fitness platform, 40 million shares, 26 to 29. We'll see how that does on Thursday at the NASDAQ. Endeavor Group, this is one of the big global entertainment groups. They do representation for talent. They'll be over at the here at the NYSE on Friday, 19 million shares at 30 to 32. So the IPO parade continues. And finally, the First Lady was here, as you saw. She was talking about BBEST, an anti-cyberbullying group. She was walking by here, a pleasant, of course, woman walking by us, and asked her how she was doing. She said, we're here to promote the BBEST organization, and they're, of course, with fourth grade students here at the United Nations. She was here with a group of them just earlier today. Very nice to see her down here on the floor. Guys, back to you.
Sonny, let's get to the bond pits as well. Check in with Rick Santelli at the CME Group in Chicago. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Carl. You know, Friday was such an important day, as was Thursday, with regard to Treasury yields. After having a huge drop in yields in August and a comeback in September, many maturities failed some simple technical tests, closing with underneath important midpoints. Now, look at a chart starting on Fed Day with regard to two-year note yields. You can see now we're trading below those yields. And if you look at 10-year, a little bit different scenario. But maybe the most important thing here with 10-year note yields is that from an intraday basis, we're trading at the lowest levels since the 12th of September. Open the chart up to what's going on a bigger frame. Let's go all the way to July. And you can see what I'm talking about with regard to 10-year, all the way up to 190 after hitting 146 and then not holding 176, the midway point of the August move on the weekly close. Now, on a closing basis, should we close here right under 170, be the lowest yield close since the 12th, we'll call it, or the 9th. That would be exactly 2 weeks. Finally, the dollar index, from an intraday perspective, same comps, best levels since September 12th, as you can see on this chart. And there's a lot of dynamics going on globally, whether it's funding issues being a concern in the U.S. or the fact that all of the charts of long-dated maturities, sovereign bonds across the globe, pretty much all have the same pattern, which shows us we're all basically sharing many of the same nervous tendencies regarding who's going to hold these bonds, what happens with negative rates, how does Mario Draghi's final handoff to Christine Lagarde turn out? Well, we have more central banks meeting, and we'll continue to monitor, of course, in the future, how they all seem to evolve away from policies that certainly don't seem to be helping many of the large developed economies. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
All right, Rick. We're going to hear from Lagarde when Sarah Eisen brings us her interview later on this morning. In the meantime, a shakeup in the race for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. The Des Moines Register says Elizabeth Warren is leading its Iowa poll for the first time, with 22% of likely caucus goers saying she's their first choice. Former VP Joe Biden now in second place at 20. Bernie Sanders falling to third at 11. Mayor Pete Buttigieg and Senator Kamala Harris rounding out the top five. Last week at Delivering Alpha, hedge fund titan Leon Cooperman weighed in on the race, expressing concerns about Warren and what he sees as a leftward tilt in this country. Take a listen.
There is unquestionably a shift to the left in this country. They won't open the stock market if Elizabeth Warren is the next president. Okay? You know, I'm not a, you know, I take to quoting Winston Churchill. I'm committed to capitalism with all its flaws. Winston Churchill says, you don't make poor people rich by making rich people poor. He also said, the main vice of capitalism is the uneven distribution of prosperity. The main vice of socialism is the equal distribution of misery. Okay? The Democratic Party seems to be leaning towards leftist policies, which I think is very harmful for the economy.
Coop made some big headlines upon that speech there.
It's very tough.
Yep.
Because, you know, Elizabeth Warren at one point was a Republican and was very identified with a lot of the issues, things that Reagan said. So I don't want to decide that it's over for capitalism with her. I think she's strident, but I think that there will be people in the House and Senate that would be pushed back.
We're also in a primary season, Jim. I mean, things always change in the general,
it's
obviously.
It's very early. I mean, look, I think some of her comments at the GM picket line were tough because there would not be buybacks. You know, will she outlaw buybacks? I don't know. Can you do that?
I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
You can change tax laws, though, that make them.
Well, oh, you mean the rich have to pay more?
You can change laws. No, that would make a buyback not as good a lever to pull in terms of capital allocation for a corporation.
I love Lee, but I thought that I'm not as concerned as she is. I think as he is. I think that there are things that are actually that she can be reasoned with. And I think it's wrong to think that the world's going to come to an end. Right. I think it's really important.
You know her well.
Yeah, it's really important.
And I don't like it when you talk quietly.
Well, because I don't like what's being said. I think that there are ways. You know, she's strident on some issues, but she's a very smart person.
Let me get some breaking news here. Steve Leisman's got this. Steve?
Carl, thanks very much. John Williams, New York Fed president, speaking about recent action in the repo market, the overnight market, says that moves in the funding market were, quote, outside of recent experience, kind of another way of the Fed president saying that they were a little surprised by what happens. They were prepared to supply liquidity, and we happen to know from our own reporting that they were indeed in a state of heightened monitoring of the markets on that Friday. The trouble, they said, was that markets were not distributing liquidity effectively. Translation, there was enough stuff around, it just wasn't getting to where it needed to go in the right way. So the Fed came in, and they say he says the repo operations did reduce the market strains, but we're not out of the woods yet, Williams says. There are potential strains in the funding market coming at the end of the quarter. That's why the Fed this week will do 3 2-week operations that will tide over the market over the quarter end. And the Fed will continue to monitor and analyze the markets closely and assess whether, among other things, to resume growth in reserves. Call from our own reporting, New York Fed officials also saying one of the areas they're looking at is why didn't the banks step up? They knew there was a potential cash squeeze coming on that Monday. They expected, they saw that the levels of reserves in the system, the level of liquidity was ample in the banks, but the banks didn't step in as they expected. So that's one of the things they're analyzing to understand why they had this crunch where a rate that should trade around 2%, for a while there traded above 7%. Carl?
Steve, rates are fairly well behaved this morning.
Yes.
Are we back? Is it fair to say we are back to normal for now?
You know, I wouldn't give an all clear just yet. They offered up to 75 today. The banking system took down just 65. That is a good sign. If we put a couple of these together, the question becomes, why is there so far a continued need for liquidity? Why the Fed has to keep injecting this money? By the way, the money's not cumulative, Carl. It's not 65, 65, 65, or 75.
Yep.
It rolls over in the night, and so it ends up being just a net of 75. But we don't quite understand why this money is continuously needed. A lot of talk and insurance that this is not a credit crunch like the financial crisis time. This is something different. More technical.
Ooh. All right, Steve. Well, we're not done talking about it. Not by a long shot. Steve, thank you for
sure.
that and William's comments. When we come back, Sarah's interview with Christine Lagarde, who's preparing to succeed Draghi as president of the ECB. S&P goes positive here and Dow's down 21. Don't go away. Time for Jim and Stop Trading.
Sometimes these online companies are doing things that don't necessarily improve profitability instantly. You see Amazon down 16. A lot of this is a great note by Morgan Stanley about how will one-day shipping impact Amazon's forward profitability. People love this one-day shipping so much, but it hurts the margins for Amazon. I think that Jeff Bezos is very smart to hook people in one-day shipping, and then maybe you can raise the price. But wow, I mean, they're doing so many things right. That's the one to watch, by the way, if Elizabeth Warren really goes far. Not Alphabet, because these guys are, they're just putting everybody to shame. They may be too powerful. I happen to love them, but they're too powerful.
I got a lot of big silos. Jim, what's
wow.
tonight?
Okay, we have some of the most important cannabis company, which is Canopy. We have my friend Rusty Brazil to talk about oil. And then, you know, this Nutanix has been going down and down and down. A lot of it is VMware, I think, as an opponent. We're going to find out what the heck's going on there.
All right, Jim. Big week.
Oh, this week is so important.
Yeah,
we're all over it.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.